بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البدحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
من أخلص لله 40 صباحا جرت يناديء الحكمة من قلبه على لسانه. وقال أمير المؤمنين عليه الصلاة والسلام: اجتناب السيئات أولى من اكتساب الحسنات. الصلوات Since last few months we have been discussing on this great hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, where he is saying that although all of his ahadiths are equally great, here he's saying that whoever exercises patience, ikhlas and sincerity for 40 mornings, fountains of wisdom burst from his soul and flow over his tongue. And we have been discussing some of those practical tips for the tazkiyatun nafs, the cleanliness of the soul, that have been mentioned by Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai, Bahrul Ulum, Rahmatullahi Alayhi. Our scholars of akhlaq have classified the human soul into several types. And obviously, some of the types we have been hearing more often than others. We have the Nafsul Ammara. This Quran says, Inna Nafsa La Ammaratum Bitsu Illa Ma Rahima Rabbi, which is actually the statement of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. So we learn in the light of this verse that the nafs of the human, the desires and wishes of a human being, is constantly dragging him towards haram, constantly deceiving him, constantly trying to derail him from the straight path. It's the consistent effort of human desires and wishes. It does not stop. Any slightest negligence, and we and any slightest negligence from the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and any slightest negligence from the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obedience towards our desires, is going to lead us towards the hell. Because if a person commits the sin, the soul gets burnt straight away. The nafsul ammara is the one that constantly commands us to do the harams based on our desires and wishes. And then we have a nafsul lawwama, which has malamat. Its job is to do malamat. It condemns a person when he is trying to do a wrong from the inside, the dhamir of a person, the conscience of a person. We also call it conscience in our regular conversations. So in ilm al-akhlaq, it is called an-nafsul lawwama, the nafs which condemns a person when he is trying to go for a haram. From the inside, Allah has made his conscience which condemns him. Don't do it, this is not okay. And when a person does it, it condemns even further. In the initial stages, the voice of nafsul lawwama is loud and clear and heard. When a person ignores the voice of his conscience and goes for the second haram without doing the tawbah over the first, that's where the voice of nafsul lawwama gets decreased and becomes lesser. After the third haram and fourth haram, God forbid, without doing any tawbah in the middle, what happens, the time arrives that the voice of nafsul lawwama is not heard at all. It's muted. We cannot kill the nafs. It's there, it's a haqiqat, it's a reality. It can never be killed. Even for the ashqal ashqiya, the worst of all the humans, the most evil people of the history and of today, the voice, the nafs cannot be killed. It's there. But the voice is muted so much that it's not heard at all. Because the piles of desires are piling up over the nafs, and now the conscience is crushed under the pile. So another category, another type of nafs is what we call a nafsul musawwila. It performs tasweel. Tasweelat is the job of shaitan. Shaitan is the one that promotes a person to do tasweelat. Tasweelat means basically doing the false, bringing false excuses for the wrongs and the faults, and justifying the wrongs that a person is trying to do, and basically encouraging a person to do the haram. This is what we call tasweel. This comes in the category of tasweel. So this is what happens. There is a justification furnished by the nafs to justify it before the conscience, so that a person ends up committing the wrong. And then we have nafsul al-mulhama. What our scholars of akhlaq say, that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires. Ilham means inspiration, the divine inspiration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides ilham. So wahi comes on a prophet. Wahi does not come on anyone other than the prophet. But the imams alayhim as-salam, and also, you know, so many other existences receive the ilham from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah in the Holy Quran says, أَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ, as in the right, your Lord sent his wahi on the honey bee. So Allah says in Quran that Allah sent his wahi over the honey bee. So obviously that's not exactly the same wahi that we talk about Allah has sent over the messengers and the prophets. Obviously, there is no comparison between this wahi and that wahi. So our scholars say that the various kinds of divine messages have been received by various existences. So the divine inspiration that a person receives from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is unlike the revelation and wahi, is called ilham. And that nafs, which is so high in its taharat and its cleanliness of the soul, that is, it receives the divine inspiration, is called nafsun mulhama. And then we have the final stage, very high stage of the nafs, which is, we call it a nafsul mutmainna, derived from the verse from Surah Al-Fajr, ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. So itminan is and yaqeen is the highest stage in the levels of the cleanliness of the soul. If a person has reached the level that he has itminan and yaqeen in every matter of his life, his beliefs, his practices, his behaviors are all based on itminan and yaqeen, then this person deserves to have nafsun mutmainna. So obviously itminan has darajat, yaqeen has darajat, so it's not one standard level. So basically, Islam and its teachings are in sync with the human conscience, which we call an-nafs al-lawwama, and the fitrat, the human instinct, and the aql, which is the inner hujjat of Allah, which is supervising from the inside. So we don't respond positively to my personal opinions and desires. That's how shaitan deceives. You know, it's true that Islam says this, but I think it should be like this. Well, why do you think it should be like this when there's Allah who is already thinking it should be like that? Do you think your aql is superior than Allah's aql, who is the creator of intellect? So you start thinking in the presence of Him thinking about you. Isn't it right? That's the common procedure of shaitan. So this is why aql is there. So aql is there to not to disobey Allah. Aql is there to lead us towards obedience of Allah. Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in the hadith, he's describing the aql, in the ta'rif of aql, is that in Kitab al-Kafi. In Kitab al-Kafi, you open the chapter of aql. The hadith says, Al-Aqlu ma ubida bihi Rahman. Aql is something with which you worship Rahman, worship Allah. Waqtusiba bihi al-jinan, and aql is something with which you achieve and acquire the paradises. So aql is from the inside, and then the prophets, Anbiya, the prophets, the imams, the books are from the outside. And that's how a person is supposed to the teachings from the prophets and the imams and the books are in sync with the human fitrat. And human desires are totally opposite to the fitrat of the human. So as soon as a person obeys his personal opinion in any matter of life, he is going against his instinct, against his aql, against his conscience, against the prophets, against the messengers, against the imams, and against the books. And in sync with shaitan, because shaitan is the one who started to act on his opinion first and foremost in the name of takabbur and arrogance. Isn't that right? Because khalaqtahu khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min teen. You created him from the mud, and you created me from the fire. From fire. So shaitan considered himself to be better, and his opinion asked him not to obey Allah and not to do sajda in front of shaitan. That was his opinion. Isn't it right? His opinion says it's not okay to do sajda to shaitan, to Adam, because I am superior. Why should I do? Allah is asking me to do the sajda. I think I should not do the sajda because I am better than him. That's his opinion. Isn't that right? So the opinions of a person needs to be crushed. If he is serious about his purification of the soul, then he has to crush his personal opinions and listen to what the Creator says. Unless if a person is not serious about his spirituality, that's a different story. So, nafsul lawwama is one of the great blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ilm al-akhlaq, we are asked to maintain our conscience. We are asked to maintain the ramir, the nafsul lawwama. So it keeps on condemning a person from the inside before a person commits the haram. Before the haram is committed, it condemns and stops. And after the haram is committed, it again condemns it further. If a person has iman, he is further condemned by his nafsul lawwama. And the nafsul lawwama and its condemnation encourages the person to go back to the straight path. This is the literal meaning of tawbah, returning back. Taba yatubu ay raja'a yarji'u, turning back. A person turns back from the hellfire, back to the straight path. By doing the sin, he already landed in the hellfire. Now he needs to go back to the straight path. Because, إِنَّ رَبِّي عَلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. So we need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is on the straight path. Isn't it right? So, our imams, look at how Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam has been benefiting from the same nafsul lawwama. See, in the time of Hazrat Umar, we find that one person was a bunch of people came to him, and they have a conflict among themselves. Here's a woman and with some of her brothers, and she's claiming that this person is not my son. He was her son, but she was lying. This person is not my son. And her brothers are there, and they brought 40 witnesses, false witnesses. False witnessing is one of the bigger sins in Islam. If anyone bears false witness, fake witness for anyone, for anything, that's a bigger sin in Islam. That's not allowed. You have to say the truth in Islam. Now these 40 people came, and they are doing the shahadat al-zur, false witness, which is bigger sin in Islam, and they are saying that, well, yes, this man is not her son. Now, Hazrat Umar sent him to the prison. His son was sent to the prison until he said that those 40 witnesses need to be checked, if their witnesses are acceptable or not. Now, this person was taken to the prison by some of those soldiers, policemen. On their way, they met with Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this son, who was now taken to the prison, started to plead. He was requesting Imam Ali alayhi salam to come in the middle and help him, because this is not right. I don't deserve to go to the prison. So Imam Ali alayhi salam came. He came in the middle, and he said that, do you accept my qadawat and judgment? And they told him that, yes, we accept your judgment, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in his hadith that, A'lamu ummati, the most knowledgeable in the ummah of Rasulullah is Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. And obviously, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمِ وَعَلِيٌّ بَعْوِينَ. Even a child remembers this hadith, isn't it right? You ask any child in the Islamic community and they know that Prophet has said, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمِ, I am the city of knowledge, وَعَلِيٌّ بَعْوِهَا. And Ali is its gateway. So you are the most knowledgeable, we are going to accept your judgment. So Imam Ali al-Islam said that, now I'm going to... So he first asked the evidence, and she said, well, the evidence about my claim is all these 40 witnesses are here, and they have all given their shahadat and witness that this is not my son. So Imam Ali al-Islam said that now I'm going to do according to what Rasulullah has taught me. And he said to his servant Qambar to bring 400 dirhams so he can read the aqd of this boy, this man, with this woman. And Qambar had brought 400 dirhams, and 400 dirhams were given to this man. So basically, Imam Ali alayhi salam, this 400 dirhams are given to this man. So Imam Ali recited the aqd for him and said to him, go and don't come back until the asar of your relationship with him are visible. So this man, this woman started to scream, how can this be? I mean, how can I sleep with my real son? And she started to confess. She confessed in front of the whole crowd that, you know what, I was lying. My brothers have brought me by force to bear witness because they want me to marry somebody else. And they wanted her to prove that she is not married in front of the new husband. She is not married, this is not her son. So they want her to marry someone else. So, and they brought these 40 witnesses to tell the lie in front of the ruler. So basically she repented and she confessed in front of everyone that basically she was lying. And then that's where Hazrat Umar said that, wa umara lawla aliyun la halaka umar. If Ali was not there, the Umar would have been subjected to halakat. So this is how we find that the nafsul lawama, the conscience of a person, this is how Imam Ali al-Islam is seeking, doing the istidlal, from seeking the benefit from the conscience of a person which is there. As long as the conscience is there, we are not, as long as the conscience is alive, we will not be able to do certain things in our life. So it's ilm al-akhlaq says that you have to keep your conscience alive. This is one of the very significant things that always empowers you to do the tawbah and come back to the straight path, because your conscience is alive. So all those things which are beneficial for keeping the conscience alive are very instrumental in Islamic morality. That's why we emphasize on those points, because this helps to keep the conscience alive. For example, environment. The environment where we move around, we live, this is extremely important. See, basically, there are two kinds of solutions towards a problem. Daf wa raf. Sometimes you are already affected by an illness and now you're seeking the cure. And sometimes you work for the prevention, the proactive solution. You want to prevent yourself before the illness, before the problem, before the damage happens. You take precautions to prevent yourself before it arrives. Isn't that right? That's what we call raf. So Islam has both kinds of solutions, the reactive solution and the proactive solution. for this matter, the cure and the prevention both. So so this is what the the role of the parents. That's how, why we are, we always signify the role of the parents. Sunday schools are very good. The teachers work very hard, obviously, but it's all volunteer jobs in every city. There are volunteers who are working in the Sunday school. Never consider the Sunday school to be sufficient for your the tarbiyat of your children. Isn't it right? We have hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. Where he says, يُحْفَظُ الْأَطْفَال بِالصَّلَاحِ آبَائِهِمْ. That's why I always say in my speeches that we need a Sunday school for the parents instead of having a Sunday school for the kids only. Because parents are the first role models. Isn't that right? Imam al-Baqir says that the children are protected because of the correctness of their parents. If the parents are salih, they are correct, they are doing good deeds, the children are protected. That's how, that's the best way of protecting your children, is to correct your own self. Make the environment of your own house where you are living and serving as role models to be good, and that's how you find more than 50% of the job is already done. Because children are looking at you, they're like, they're copying you. Just whatever you do, they copy. In the first 7 years, they are looking at you as role models. Instead of some parents using Sunday school as a dumping station, right? Just dump your children and take a break. This is not a dumping station that we run away and we do what we want to do and just leave the burden on the teachers or the volunteers who are working there. This is not going to work and to achieve the desired results. And obviously, when we are talking about the environment where we are living, the schools and colleges, universities, actually play a very significant role. But before we even go to the schools and colleges and universities, the first muallim and teacher of the child is the father and the mother. Isn't it right? It again comes back to the parent. They are the first muallim. It's easy to blame the schools and the educational systems, but the more significant point is that the first teachers are corrected and the first teachers play the significant role. So the foundation is laid on the right and solid ground. So the child has the concrete foundation of knowledge right from the time when the mother is pregnant, and all the way through the time when the child is born, whatever knowledge of the ruh, whatever food for the soul the mother is receiving and the father is receiving, has direct impact on the child. So the hadith, look at the hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. That إن المعلم إذا قال للصبي بسم الله كتب الله له وللصبي ولوالديه براءة من النار. If the teacher teaches to the child Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes down bara'at from the fire. That means this person is free from the hellfire. For the child, for the teacher, for the child, and for his parents. So all three. Well, you are the one who are sending your child to the teacher, and the teacher is the one who is teaching Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and the child is the one who is at the receiving end. So all those, the parents, the child and the teacher, everybody is now free from the hellfire just for sake of learning one Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Look at how merciful Allah is and how much it is easy actually in Islam to earn the darajat and the levels. instead of finding teachers who are robbing the children from their iman and faith, depriving them from their values, teaching them anti-values to be values, valuelessness in the name of values, and promoting the fahsha and munkar in the name of freedom. Isn't it right? You see that story where a bunch of dacoits, they went out stealing, and they found this horse. They stole the horse of somebody. So when they brought the horse to their chief dacoit, the biggest thief, so they brought all the horse to him, and this guy looked at the horse and he said, well, there was an Ayatul Kursi hanging in the neck of the horse. He said that, you know, return this horse back to the owner, because we steal the money of the people, not the iman. This person has put his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it right? You're not here to steal the iman of the people. Take it back to them. So, in Islam, there are people who are, in the name of teaching, leading the people towards misguidance. رُبَّ عِلْمٍ أَدَّى إِلَى مَظَلَّتِكَ. There's so much knowledges that lead you towards your misguidance. So the environment is extremely important to protect the nafsul lawwama, the human conscience, so that it is in its original form, untainted. So we keep on going back to the straight path smoothly. Another factor to protect the nafsul lawwama, the human conscience, is the bad, avoiding the bad companionships. See, look at what Imam Ali alayhi salam says, that suhbatul ashrar taksibu shar, hanging around with the evil people will earn you the evil. And then he gives the example, karrihi iza marrat bin natin hamalat natinan. Just like the wind, if it blows next to a dead body, in other words, a corpse, it will carry the bad odor with it, isn't it right? So that's the way it goes. It's impossible for a person to hang around with evil people and not to have some asar and impact on his soul. That's not possible. So that's why you find, and that's maybe one of the reasons why that the Salihin never used to even sit for a moment, hang around for a moment with the evil people. Never. Instead, they used to keep them at a distance. Always keep them at a distance. Iyakum wa musahabatal fusaq. Amir Mumin alayhi salam says, keep away from the companionship of fasiq people. Fasiq, a human is either adil or fasiq. The definition of an adil person, the lowest level of adil and adalat, is you do all the wajibs and leave all the harams. You are called adil. Zahiran, at least, in front of the community. So if a person commits haram in his loneliness, we will continue to call him an adil person, because we don't know. There is no tajassus. There is no room for Islam to delve into personal lives of the people. Isn't it right? And we don't know, and it's not our job to inquire. So we will have husnul dhan, good thoughts about our fellow Muslim brother. So this is adalat. If a person commits the harams openly, leaves the wajibs openly, this person is called fasiq. So we need to keep away from the fasiq people. فَإِنَّ الشَّرَّ بِالشَّرِّ يُلْحَقُ. Because shar is going to get attached to shar. We will be with them. We will be counted with them. We will be like them and with them. And another hadith says that إِيَّاكَ وَمُعَشَرَةَ الْأَشْرَارِ فَإِنَّهُمْ كَالنَّارِ مُبَاشَرَتُهَا تُحْرِقُ. Keep away from getting along, in other words, with the evil people, because they are like fire. You get in touch with the fire and it will burn you. It will burn. So remember the story when Imam alayhi salam mentioned to Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub that you are doing mu'asharat, you are in other words getting along with the you are getting along with Abdul Rahman ibn Ya'qub, and he has kufr beliefs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kufr type of beliefs in other words. So, and he said, well he's my uncle. Well, Imam alayhi salam said, you either sit with him or you sit with us. Obviously, this cannot be that a person can choose both and deal with the Salihin and the Salihin in the same way. This is not going to happen. There has to be a distinguishment and different behavior between those two. So, and then Imam alayhi salam said that don't you know that in the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, which I'm paraphrasing this long hadith in my own words, there was a young man who had his father as the supporter of Fir'aun. And this young man went to give advice to his father at the time where the azab of Allah was about to arrive. This is never a good idea, brothers and sisters, to be with the evil people in Islam. So, especially when the azab is about to arrive. Now, because we don't know and we don't have the means and tools to discover when the azab is going to arrive, so that's the reason that we need to, it's one of the reasons that we need to be away from them at all times. Isn't that right? So, and the azab arrived at that time when this son went to do advice to his father, who is a supporter of Fir'aun. The azab arrived, and obviously he also got killed along with Fir'aun. And when somebody asked Prophet Musa alayhi salam, he said that this young man is in the rahmat of Allah. Obviously, he was not a bad doer, but when the azab arrives, obviously he will get killed along with the azab. Isn't that right? You cannot avoid that azab when you yourself are present at the time when the azab is arriving. So we are supposed to keep away, just like about alcohol it has been said, not to be there. Islam says you cannot be present in the same ma'ida or sufra or food or table where someone else is consuming the alcohol. In Islam, we have a higher value system. We don't do that. We cannot be present. You cannot say, well, I was not drinking. It doesn't matter you were drinking or not. Why were you there? فَإِنَّ اللَّعْنَةَ The hadith says, فَإِنَّ اللَّعْنَةَ إِذَا نَزِلَتْ أَمَّتْ مَنْ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ When la'nat arrives, it will include all those who are in the gathering. You can, so we need to avoid those places where others are doing haram. عَاشِرْ أَهْلَ الْفَضْلِ تَسْعَدْ وَتَمْبُلْ We need to be getting along with those who have fadilat, spiritual attributes, and that's how we can succeed and reach the high nobility. So, sitting with the bad people, when Islam talks about the moral values and protecting our morality, some people end up thinking that in order to protect your fada'il and moral values, you have to avoid the society, avoid interacting with the people. This is the wrong concept. This is not what Islam is saying. Avoiding the bad people and the bad attributes doesn't mean that you want to avoid the entire society. You have to live inside the society and then pick and choose the good from the bad and hang around with the good ones, and when you see the bad ones, you do your advice towards them. This is what Islam is asking us to do, not to keep away and end up in living in any kind of monasteries or secluded, isolated areas where no human being ever shows up. That's how some people think they can protect their spirituality. If they can end up protecting their spirituality like this, if they could end up, it's a very big question mark in terms of Islamic morality, if they would be necessarily successful just because of an isolated lifestyle to protect their spirituality. This is a big question mark. It's not that easy. But if they end up protecting, that's not a fazilat either. Isn't that right? That's not a fazilat. Why? Because for the sake of doing one, protecting one Islamic fazilat or value, you are avoiding 100 other values, which some of those 100 values are way more superior and bigger wajib of Islam than this. Isn't that right? And when you compare anything which is a bigger wajib and aham, then this value no longer is considered to be a value in the eyes of Allah. Just like if you are praying and somebody is drowning in the lake and you can go and save his life, what does the Islamic Sharia say? You cannot say, well, I didn't protect this brother's life because, you know what, I was praying. So he died. You could have protected his life. Can you say to Allah, no, oh my Lord, I am not a sinner. See, I was not drinking alcohol. I was praying. It's not drinking alcohol or gambling or something. I was praying. For this praying, who said is going to make you close to Allah? Who said this praise is jaiz? Who says this praise is allowed in Islam? What to talk of being wajib? Forget about wajib. Who says it's even jaiz to pray? This praise itself, that some people may think they are not drinking alcohol, they are doing a nice thing. This praise itself is a bigger sin in Islam to continue to pray after you find out there's some brother who's drowning and you can save his life. This is no longer wajib, no longer even jaiz to pray. Any moment you continue and you're doing a bigger sin. Islam says you have to break your prayers and go and save the life. Isn't that right? So, who says this is a fazilat that you are living in the isolated area and you are protecting your spirituality at the cost of neglecting aham and more important list of Islamic wajibat, which are part of the sharia of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. So we find that apart from what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, that sababul fujur al khalwa. That's why I said it's a big question mark. See, look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says that the reason for transgression, fujur, people who are doing haram, isn't that right? Reason for the fujur is khalwa, loneliness. So if you are in front of 100 people, you're not going to do the fujur, isn't that right? Being in the society itself helps us from so many harams, because it's easy for a person who doesn't believe in Allah watching him to do a haram in his loneliness. But it's hard for a person, see, people who don't have taqwa, they always fear the humans. So they don't have taqwa, so that's why they don't avoid the harams and the loneliness and khalawat. But somebody who doesn't have the fear of Allah fears the humans. Fears everything else, including the humans. So he's not going to do the same thing in front of the people, because he would think what the people are going to say. Because he is afraid of the people. Man khafa min Allah, akhafa Allah minhu kulla shay. Whoever is afraid from Allah, the hadith says, Allah makes everything be afraid of him. Wa man lam yakhaf min Allah, whoever is not afraid from Allah, khafa min kulli shay, you know, he is afraid from everything. So sababul fujur al khalwa, the cause of fujur and all those harams is khalwat. And an-nafsu also, in the another hadith, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam has said that an-nafsu, النَّفْسُ إِنْ لَمْ تَشْغَلْهُ شَغَلَكَ. If you don't engage, the nafs is going to engage you. So obviously when you are in the loneliness, there is very less available to engage yourself with, isn't that right? As compared to if you are living in the society, somebody is going to call you, somebody is going to send email to you, you have access to internet, you have Wi-Fi, isn't it right? People are sending emails, you're receiving calls, you're meeting with people, you'll be traveling in your car, isn't it right? So you have so much opportunity to interact with the people around you, isn't it right? So you have, when You have so many things that engage your nafs, then the nafs will have lesser opportunity automatically. Lesser time is left for out for the nafs to engage you. Because whenever nafs engages you, it will always engage you in towards the haram. Nafs doesn't engage you towards the halal. The aql engages us towards the obedience, and the wahi and the sharia engages us towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to avoid those of the people who are fasid, and even the sufaha. Not just that, look at the highness of Islamic morality. Sufaha, safi. Safi in Arabic we say to, like in Farsi we say, bi khiradan. Wo log jo aql se aari hain, aql se kore. Jo aql se kore hote hain, unko hum safi. That's what we call safi in Arabic. Sufaha. Senseless people. So even the senseless people need to be avoided. We are not talking about the harams and fusaq right now and fajir people. We are talking about sufaha. Please remember. So in the hadith we learn muqaranatu sufaha tufsidul khulq. If somebody gets close, muqarana means becoming kareen. You become a companion, you get close to the safi and senseless people. This is going to damage your akhlaq and morality. Tufsidul khulq. So we don't never get an Imam Salih alayhi salam has said that qabil as-safiha bil-i'raad anhu. That means face the safi and senseless person by escaping away from him. You get away from him. You avoid him. Escape away from him. That's how you face the safi person. So when you are about to meet a safi, just escape away. This is what we have been told to do that. You know, that's how we protect our spirituality. قابل السفيه بالإعراض عنه وترك الجواب. If he says something to you, don't respond back to him. Say his answer. Keep his question answerless. Don't reply back to a safi person. This is not what Islam says, that you interact with a safi person. يكن الناس أنصارك. People will be your supporters. If that's the way you do towards the sufaha, you will get the support from the people. لأن من جاور السفيه وكافاه. Imam Salih alayhi salam says, because whoever becomes close to the safi person and replies back to him, he said something and you say something. So if that's the policy you adopt towards the safi person, then Imam alayhi salam says, قد وضع الحطب على النار. You have put the firewood over the fire. So you are basically increasing the flames. This is not going to serve anyone, isn't it right? You're putting the firewood over the fire. So see, all these beautiful, delicate details have been told, that how is should be our policy towards which category of people in the society. So we cannot interact with the fasiqeen, we cannot interact with the fajir people, we cannot be, you know, hanging around with the safih people, and don't even reply back to the question of a safih person. Just avoid it. Just avoid it. You know, one person used abusive word for Qambar. Qambar is the servant of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salatu wasalam. And he was about to say something, and Imam Ali alayhi salam said to him, "Da shatimaka muhanan, turbil rahman wa tuskatu shaitan." Leave your shatim. Shatim is a person who says abusive word to you. It's called shatim. Anyone who says abusive word towards you, leave him insulted. This guy is insulted in the eyes of Allah, isn't that right? Who commits the haram is not respected, he loses his izzat. Isn't that right? Leave your shatim to be insulted. You please the Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you displeased shaitan. Shaitan was trying to trap you, in other words, so you also fall into a haram. Isn't it right? We don't engage our tongue in the abusive languages. If somebody is using the abusive language, that's against Islamic morality. It's not allowed in Islam. You know? We don't spoil our tongue with those kinds of words. We have a higher value system in Islam. You know, so we don't do that. إن الله حرم الجنة على كل فحاش بذيء. So ولوع النفس باللذات يهوي ويردي. So habituating your nafs, or treating your nafs, if you become addicted with the pleasures. Some people do harams because they are so much addicted to this haram or that haram. Some specific harams are part of their life. They have done it so many times it has become part of their life. So this is called wulu in Arabic. Wulu'u nafs billadhat. That means your nafs has been treated so many times with that haram pleasure that now it's become, you know, almost addiction. Somebody who addicts his nafs with the pleasures, this is going to, you know, mislead and make us radi, past and lowly. That's how. And also another hadith says that al-lazzatu mufsidat, the pleasures are the things that damage. So our spirituality is damaged with all these haram pleasures of this dunya. Inshallah, I think the time is almost over. I can continue some other points that I have written down, inshallah, in the next Thursday. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. If you have any question for those few minutes which are we have before Adhan, any question about my speech, I can take your questions.